And Jack isn't here tonight. Jack is out of town, I believe. So I'm filling in here. We have Randy Diller and Michelle Deuce from the Pavilion Committee. And we'll be talking about the new three-season shelter house. We're calling it the Pavilion. And we'll be talking about that. Welcome, Randy.
Thank you, Neil. And, good to be here again.
And Michelle.
Hi there.
A lot of people, of course, know Randy from the village administrator position. And, of course, Michelle, was she and Jackie Leverett, who will be here in a little bit with us, were the co-chairman, is that what it was, of the 225
right.
celebration.
Yep.
And so they got recruited to help some more. So they did such a good job. They get rewarded by doing more work. Just like if you need something done, find the busiest person. So we're going to, let's just do a quick little brief thing about the Pavilion, and then we'll take a break and be back in, after that. But Pavilion, just kind of give us a brief, a brief overview of what it is. And
okay. Well, let's start where the actual project started from, what the idea came from. And it's honestly, it was a Roger Broerman idea back from when he was serving as mayor. He just felt like the park needed an enclosed shelter house of some sort. Kind of had that idea for a couple of years and was throwing around ways to do it, looked at some different ideas. He was actually at one time thinking community building, which would be big enough for maybe a small wedding dance hall type place. Realized that really wasn't a huge need in this area right now. So kind of went and settled with the enclosed shelter house idea. So upon that, Roger was originally involved with the 225 committee, and he suggested that possibly the profits from the 225 could go towards an enclosed shelter house building. So that was kind of proposed at that point. I don't know that they actually decided at the beginning that that's what it was going to go to. Or?
We did. There were some different ideas that were thrown around, you know, throughout the course of our meetings. But in the very beginning, that was one of our main points, was what are we going to do with any profits and where do we want it to go? And it was voted on by all the committee members of the 225. And this is what we decided to put it towards.
And as everybody knows, the 225 was very successful.
It was very successful. Thank you.
For a lot of reasons.
And Jackie.
For a lot of reasons.
And part of it was
not
the weather.
Not just because of the money, but because it was a great event for our community.
Yes, it was extremely, it was monetarily successful and event-wise very successful.
Certainly the money was good, too. And at the end of the 225, excuse me, they were able to donate just about $80,000, $75,000 to $80,000.
That's a pretty good chunk.
That was a big chunk to start. You know, when, excuse me, when you have that kind of a start, it makes it a lot easier to.
Yeah, it does. And when you have, you know, a nice event, you have some momentum going, and you have some funds to do something, and it's a something that I know Roger had talked to a number of people. I don't know if he talked to organizations, but he talked to a lot of individuals that thought it was a good idea.
Yeah, there was a lot of discussion that happened, and we decided it was a good idea, and so then the 225 committee took it on as their purpose for the funds. Once those funds were actually deposited into the community foundation in a fund for the, we'll call it Pavilion now, the next step was to basically get a committee together to form this and proceed with this. So from that point, the committee was formed. Obviously, Roger sat on that committee. Because it was 225 funds, we asked Jackie and Michelle to take part, which they agreed to do, and we're happy to have them. We also have myself and Aaron Miner from the village to get that perspective. We also brought in Bill Bechtel, who was a longtime park board member.
Yes.
And
he's one of the original park board members. Is that correct?
Been on it since there's been a park board.
Which is several decades.
Early 80s, yes.
Yep. So he's a very good person to have involved in something like that. Let's take a quick break.
Okay.
And then we'll be back with more information on the Pavilion and the history and the who, what, when, and where and all of that. So let's take a quick break. We'll be back right after this.
Be sure to stop in to Brick Street Tavern every Friday night for a Queen of Hearts drawing at 10 o'clock. You could win thousands of dollars if your name is drawn and you pick the Queen of Hearts. The pot just keeps getting bigger every week that we have no winner. Ask your server for tickets when you stop in for lunch. You have to be there to win the full amount, but even if you can't get there for the drawing on Friday night, you can still get 40% of the pot. So be sure to get your tickets for Brick Street Tavern's Queen of Hearts drawing and be ready to win some big bucks. You can stop by Brick Street anytime to buy your tickets. The drawing will be every Friday night at 10 o'clock after the basketball games.
Cooper Farms Feed and Animal Division in Fort Recovery, Ohio is seeking a second shift feed delivery driver, which requires a Class A CDL. My name is Bob Stogler, and I have been at Cooper Farms for 33 years, which has enabled me to develop great friendships along the way and great opportunities. Come join the Cooper team today. Apply online at cooperfarms.com.
I'm Kenny Cadote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. For a tractor with big chore versatility and power, ask us at K&L Tractor in Fort Recovery about the 140 to 165 horsepower T7 series tractors from New Holland. They're the all-around workhorse you need for loading, haymaking, mixing feed, and spreading manure. They offer choice of transmissions and unmatched versatility to power implements on front or back. Plus, you work your best in the quiet comfort of a Horizon cab. See us at K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery today.
There's a great addition coming to our community park. Next year, we'll be building a new three-season pavilion by our swimming pool. This beautiful new shelter house will hold over 100 people and will be a great addition to our park and could be rented out for reunions, graduation parties, or any other get-together. It'll feature restrooms, a full kitchen, and an outdoor patio area. If you would like to help support the building of this pavilion and leave your mark on this great project, they're offering the public several options to help. There'll be several choices for purchasing paver bricks for the outdoor patio to help with the cost of this great new community three-season building. For details on how you can leave a lasting legacy at this new shelter house, there are color brochures at many locations around town, or you can contact Aaron Miner at eminer@fortrecovery.org or stop by the Village Hall or call Aaron at 375-1056. Just contact Aaron Miner at the Village Hall and pick out which paver option you want, and you can help with the cost of construction and leave a lasting memory at this beautiful new shelter house.
Welcome back to Insight. We're talking with members of the Pavilion Committee, the three-season outdoor or three-season shelter house. It'll be an enclosed. It can be enclosed. Was there some more that you wanted to talk
just,
about with the beginning?
Just a couple other people I want to mention that are on that committee.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We also brought in Don Leonards and Tom Seegers. Both obviously have a good background in building.
Yes.
And they're kind of our go-to guys when it comes to design and planning and materials. And they've been a great help, so we're happy to have them. So,
and it's good to have people like that will volunteer to help out. Yeah.
So we got a great committee, and we've made a lot of progress. So obviously the next step after creating the committee is to do something, and then that was to figure out, first off, how are we going to fund it, and also to at the same time be designing and deciding what we're actually going to build. So those two things have been going on since I think our first meeting was about a year ago now. It's actually in February, I think, of last year.
Yeah, I honestly don't remember. I probably have the notes from it, but
yeah, I think it was from February of 17 when we actually met the first time and started working on things and plans. And a lot of that had been worked on previously, but hadn't really been decided which direction we were going to go, and started talking about funding and how we were going to do that. So in the last year, that's what we've been working on. That's pretty much what we've been working on, and there's a lot of fundraisers out there, and I can let Michelle talk to that end of it, but been a busy year.
Yep. So how did we, or who decided how big this is going to be, and how big will it be, and what's going to be, what are the features of it?
I think, and two things determine that, the size of it. First off, the committee is making the decision in the end. The second thing that maybe probably played as much a part in it as anything is the area that it's going to go in.
Yeah.
It has to fit that area. And, you know, obviously we wanted it to be big enough to be functional for the purposes we've envisioned for it. So we've made it that big. The building itself is approximately 2,800 square feet. The big room in it that will be the pavilion area is about 1,800 or 1,900 square feet of that. So It's a good size.
Is it going to be basically square?
It's rectangular. It's about 60 by 32,
okay. Yep.
33. So it's rectangular in size. It'll be a nice area for, you know, there, no problem holding 125 people probably, or even more, but depends how well you want to pack them in.
Yeah. And that's kind of up to what people do also. And if I remember correctly, it's also going to have restrooms and in addition to the restrooms that are somewhat nearby, but,
you know. Park will have its updated restrooms not far from it, but this, people renting it will actually have restrooms inside the building that will be able to utilize that, not actually have to leave that area to use a restroom. It'll also have, I'll call it a kitchenette type area, which it's not going to be for cooking, but it's more or less going to be for freezer and refrigerator, some counter space and things like that.
So if you're planning on cooking, you want to bring your own roasters and all that stuff,
because it'll be set up to handle an awful lot of roasters and things. And we haven't decided, we may put a warmer oven in there, something in that order, just not necessarily for baking, but when you bring something to keep it warm, that type of a thing, along with sink and things that you would have in a normal kitchen. But it's not really a full kitchen. It's not going to have a hood. It's not going to be stovetop of any sort or anything like that.
Yeah, so. And most people wouldn't expect that, but they would expect plenty of plug-ins.
Well, that's the thing. You learn about those things over time, and everybody that's ever done it at their house knows you just don't have enough outlets for all the roasters and crock pots and things you're going to use.
Phone chargers.
Obviously, it's going to have a lot of circuits with a lot of outlets, and it'll be set up for that. We'll actually, in the main room, have a long counter along one wall that'll be set up with a lot of outlets along it to plug those types of things in and lay it out for serving and so forth. So it'll be set up nice. The other room that is in it is a storage area. Obviously, never have enough of that, but it'll be designed for potentially some things for the pavilion itself, but also for some park equipment and things to be stored in.
Well, it's, you got a building started, might as well.
So
and you're going to need storage, so that's a good place.
I mean, it's going to meet the needs that we see from an enclosed shelter house standpoint. You know, we're still calling it a shelter house, a pavilion, because we're going to put picnic tables in it. We're not going to put regular banquet tables and those types of things.
Yeah, I don't think people are expecting that either. I think
and picnic tables that you buy, the good ones will hold up a lot longer,
especially if they're not sitting outside in the weather.
Right. And now, will we have some folding chairs in there that could be used? Yeah, I mean, we would have those available, maybe in the storage area, that type of thing. But we're still calling it a shelter house. So
Is this kind of along the line, if anybody's been out to Burkittsville shelter house, is it that type
of
thing?
Same type of setup, different shaped, obviously, a little different. If you've been to St. Henry's, you actually even get a better picture of what we're doing. It's kind of shaped in the same way and patterned in the same way, but we've made some changes that we feel work better for us. But it'll have the overhead doors that roll up on nice days where it'll make it pretty open.
Yeah.
And be a lot nicer for summer outings. But then those fall and spring ones were rainy days. When you do have an outing, you can close them up and be sheltered. So it'll be a nice setup.
Or a cold wind blowing or something. Yeah. You can close it from probably the west. But so money-wise, what approximately is going to be the projected cost?
We're projecting that right now we've got most of the design done, so we put it out and talked to local contractors, and we want to make sure everybody understands this is going to be built locally. We're two things that I guess need to be understood. First is this is not a village project. This is not something that's going through the village council or even my office for construction. It's actually being built by this committee, which is part of the 225 committee and their funding. And so this money is coming out of the foundation to pay for this. So what we're trying to do is raise the money to pay for the whole project. And the purpose for that is not because the village wouldn't love to put some money into it, because it's a great project for our parks, but if we get involved, then you got the bidding process and you got the prevailing wage mm-hmm. process, and you got a lot of things that add money to the cost of this project.
Yep.
So what the village has done is committed to outfitting the building, basically. We'll put the tables in. We'll do some of the interior stuff that's not considered part of the construction of the building. Mm-hmm. That we can go ahead and pay for.
And probably the maintenance. And
then, well, you know, obviously when it's done and dedicated, it's a village building at that point. It's mm-hmm. it's given to the village, and it's already on our property, obviously. So at that point, then it's ours to take care of.
So by having private funding, you also give a lot of individuals and businesses the chance to do something and feel a little bit of ownership and pride in that too, I think. This community seems to be very willing to give to good projects and good events. So that's one more thing that people can, you know, feel good about. We did this. We didn't have the town to, we didn't get, you know, and it's nice to have the town do stuff, but you know, because we're paying taxes. But then the state giving half of it or 10% of it, that type of thing, that's all nice. But a project like this, I really like that the town, the individuals, the businesses are doing it with no outside help, and that gives everybody kind of a feeling of ownership, even if you're only donating $5 or $10, or if you're going to be the person with the naming rights that's putting in a bunch.
And if you're from this community, you realize how many projects have gotten done that
yes.
way over the years.
Yep.
I mean, whether it be the athletic complexes
yeah.
or whether it be park projects or what it be, you know, it's Ambassador Park, you know, you name it. It's all been done with local.
Yeah, there's a lot of people here who like to say we did this, and that's another really nice project where we get to help out, and that's always a little bit you know, we seem to be a little more likely to use it, to take care of it, to promote the town and that type of thing. So I think that's a really good way to do it. Let me just as far as the cost, how close are we to having somewhere near funding? Is that Michelle's deal?
Well, I guess it is tonight, but
all right.
As far as the fundraising goes, right now we're doing pretty well. We obviously we need some more funds out there yet. Our initial estimate was somewhere between $225,000 and $250,000 mm-hmm. to put up the building. Right now, we're sitting around $185,000 that we've raised. So we still need some more funds coming in, but we do have a couple fundraisers going on currently.
Talk about the fundraisers there, unless you're not finished with that part. But yeah,
no, that's perfectly fine. The pavers, we've been selling those actually for a while now, and we've done rather well on those. We've got three different sizes of pavers that you can order. The first one's 4x8, which is $100, and
that's inches.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Inches.
Yep.
And then we've
bricks, got, paver brick type
correct.
Things. Yeah.
And then we've got an 8x8, which is $250, and then an 8x16, which is $500. And that's actually made out of another material other than brick. And trying to remember what that is actually called. Do you remember?
It's called Adair Stone.
Adair Stone. There you okay. go. It's more of a white mm-hmm. color to it. And then you can get engraving on it if you want to put FR radio on there, you know, whatever you want to put on there. On the larger mm-hmm. stones, you can actually put a company logo. So if you wanted to put FR radio with a logo on it, we can add the logo for an additional $50. But everything mm-hmm. is in black. We're not going to do any colors or anything. But again, that's been a pretty good fundraiser so far. We've got lots of pamphlets around. I know we've had some at some different businesses throughout town. And then obviously, I think each of the committee members probably has some brochures with them, but I mm-hmm. know at a lot of the banks we had them
yeah,
sit.
And I believe at all the home basketball games, they have those available too,
correct.
Along with the other fundraiser that you're probably going to talk about here in a minute. But the pavers, those will go where?
The pavers will be on the east side of the building. We're actually going to have almost like a patio area. Mm-hmm. It'll be concrete, and then we'll have the pavers inlaid inside of that and in a design.
Now, is that going to be kind of the main entrance, or a kind of a place where people can kind of go and just be outside? Yeah,
the thinking on it was using the east side because most outings are in the afternoon, evenings, yep. and it might be a shaded side that mm-hmm. people can sit outside on nice nights and enjoy on. And so we're going to call it our patio area, which is actually the east, which is actually kind of like the back patio because yep. the west mm-hmm. side and north side will, or the south, west and south will be the main entrances, I think.
Yep. So let's take a real quick break, and then we'll talk about the other fundraising activity we have going on for this. We'll be back in just a minute.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Boers Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boers, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boers Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boers Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Running late? Can't decide what to make for supper? Just don't have time to make supper? Just call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274 and let them get your meal ready for you. Everybody can get what they want. Subs, great sandwiches, all kinds of deep-fried goodies, plus their famous wings and pizza. Be sure to stop by on Friday for their pizza and wing lunch buffet. And don't forget to make your reservations for your kid's birthday party or any other occasion. So whether it's getting your supper ready tonight or reserving your lanes for a party, let Corey and Jared take the hurry and stress out of your day. Just call them at 375-4274.
My name is Connor Rammel, Vice President of the Fort Recovery Chamber of Commerce, here to let you know about our upcoming Chamber Banquet. The banquet will be March 11th, 2018 at Fort Recovery Elementary Middle School Auditoria. Doors will open at 5:30 p.m. and dinner will begin at 6 p.m. with awards following immediately after. RSVP for this event at frchamber.org or tickets are available at Fort Recovery Insurance, Second National Bank, Mercer Savings Bank, and First Financial Bank. Also, be sure to pick up your nomination forms for Citizen of the Year and Hall of Fame recipient at all banks in town, post office, library, and village hall, or go to our website, frchamber.org, and fill out the online nomination form. Also, nominations for Business of the Year will be accepted, but online only. See Chamber website for criteria. Deadline for all nominations is February 5th. If you have any questions, please feel free to call me at 419-375-4041. The Chamber and local businesses look forward to seeing you at the banquet March 11th at 5:30 p.m.
Welcome back to Insight. We're here talking with Randy Diller and Michelle Deuce about the pavilion, and we talked a little bit about the pavers, and those are available by getting a hold of Aaron Miner at the Village Hall.
That's where the order forms get mailed to or dropped off at.
Okay, and the order forms are in the brochures that are around town?
They are. They're in the brochures. We've actually run it in the Fortside Journal several times. Mm-hmm. We've had something in there. I know we've had pamphlets at all of the home basketball games, both boys and mm-hmm. girls. And we have had pamphlets at the local businesses, the banks, and I believe the library. I haven't checked the stock there in a long time, but whether they have some still, we mm-hmm. have to check up on that again. But yeah, you can easily obtain an order form by going to the village office.
All righty. And the other fundraiser we have is?
It's a golf cart. We're giving away a golf cart, and tickets for that are $20. We are selling 750 tickets. The anticipated drawing date is on Sunday, June 17th at the Jubilee. Mm-hmm. Planning on holding the drawing at 5:30. The only other way is if we would sell all 750 tickets prior to that, that, you know, we'll find some venue that's going on locally here that, you know, we can try and draw it ahead of time.
Yep. So make sure you get your tickets for that. I know they sell, they're available, and the golf cart is almost always at the home girls and boys basketball games, and you can get the tickets there also. So take an extra 20 sometime. I know I talked to a couple of the people that have sold, and a lot of people don't have the $20 with them when they're going to a weeknight basketball game. So make sure you remember that, and take that extra 20 to the basketball game so you can get your tickets. And the sooner they sell all the tickets, the sooner you can win your golf cart. So if you help get them sold earlier, you can have that golf cart in May. So and it's a Yamaha, if I remember correctly.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. It's a pewter gray. It's a gray kind of fade into a black.
Really nice.
And went with the black seats. It's actually got the street legal package on it already. So it's got the windshield, the rear view mirror, the turn signals, brake lights. Yep, all of that.
So everything to make Jared happy. We're good.
Yes. Yes, that's very important, because we don't want to give somebody something and then have then the police officer tell them they can't. We still have to have it inspected.
And licensed.
But it won't, you won't have to go buy stuff to add to it. So
that's
it
is. Oh, and it is gas as well. Oh,
okay. Yep. That, I hadn't thought about asking that, but yep. So that's good. So those tickets are available, as we said, at the basketball games and so forth. How else can people get tickets for that?
They can contact any committee member.
And we want to welcome Jackie Leverett that just joined us.
Any committee member does have tickets available. We are also selling them.
I'm actually going to drop some tickets off at St. Joe's store. I had talked to Terry Wendell, and he had offered to sell some tickets. So I've got a flyer made up that I actually plan on dropping off here tonight, along with some tickets, and give him some information for it.
They're also available at Wengler Hardware.
Yeah,
in the Village Hall, correct?
What's that?
At the Village Hall as well.
Yes, absolutely.
We've been trying to hit up all the home basketball games, just some other community events, the Fish Fry recently, and then just as, you know, if anybody has a suggestion, an event going on that would welcome or allow someone from the committee to come sell tickets, we would be glad to do so. We just want to make sure we're hitting all the groups of individuals that we can and get as many out there sold as possible.
We're also, we've not contacted, you know, the ambassadors yet, but discussing selling tickets at the First Tract Bowl this year, which will be the first weekend of June, June 1st and 2nd, correct, Randy?
Correct.
Yep. So, yeah, and there's no reason why they won't. So the only thing where that could be a problem is people from out of town, and if they're from, probably not coming from Iowa, but if they're coming from Iowa, they're probably not going to want to come back and get a golf cart, but those people won't. But there's lots and lots of workers and local people that go to the tractor pulls and just to enjoy them, and they'll I think that's going to be a good thing for you. So I hope that goes very well too. So we've talked about where the pavilion's going to be. Have we covered everything on the fundraising?
I think the only other thing that would be good to be mentioned is who has actually donated some money so far.
Oh, okay.
We've had some groups have stepped up and been very supportive of this project. Obviously, the 225 committee with their $80,000 in profits. The Fort Recovery Community Foundation stepped in right away and said that they wanted to support this project. And as of now, they've given us a little over $45,000 towards the project.
That's a pretty good chunk.
That is a nice chunk. That was very, very nice of them. We've gotten the normal participation from the other groups in town, the community club, the sorority.
Yep. Probably VFW Legion, those kind of things.
Well, we haven't seen anything there, but they've bought in pavers and they've bought in the bigger pavers. Which is a great fundraiser for us, too. So that's very good. Coopers, Cooper Farms, as always. I mean, they're just truly supportive of their
community. Let's make sure they keep profitable because they employ a lot of really good people that we don't want to lose from this,
and they're
this
just community. Good to the community all the way around.
They do a lot of things.
They support us in a lot of ways. We've also gotten some money from the Jubilee Committee out of some of the profits from the Jubilee.
Oh, good.
So that's been helpful. A couple businesses have stepped up. Second National Bank is one that's stepped up and given a nice donation, and we appreciate that.
That's really good.
Yeah, so we've had some great support. We want to make sure those people are thanked for that.
Absolutely. And
we're still looking. Like I said, we're still short, so we're still looking for those donations to get us over the top.
And I think, like most projects, once construction starts, they see it's real, and there's going to be all kinds of people there while the construction's going on for the Little League games and at the swimming pool. Once they see that, they're going to realize that it's a real thing and be pretty happy to see how they can help.
We anticipate that the pavers will continue on strongly, certainly during construction. When they start seeing that it's a project, then, you know, they've been steady. You know, we had a big push right at the beginning, but to be honest, they're coming in fairly regularly still. You know, people are still looking at it, thinking, oh, that's right, I got to get a paver for that. So far, like I said, it's been a very successful fundraiser, as Michelle said, and we've probably taken in a little around $30,000 in sales of just the pavers.
Wow, that's pretty good.
So that's our goal when we started, if we had such a thing, was we hoped we could take in $20,000 to $25,000, and we're hit $30,000, and we think we can go quite a bit farther.
And there's probably, within reason, there's no limit on how many you can sell and how big that patio can be.
I can make that patio awfully big.
We can put it all across the park.
Well, that's the beauty with it, too. On these pavers, based on how many we sell, they're still going to be fill-ins, so there's always going to... Well, our intent is that there's always going to be space that if a year down the road someone says, I wish I had a paver, that they can still purchase one, and we can pop, you know, those out.
Pop a regular brick out.
Correct.
And put that in. Yep. So that's really good.
One other note on the pavers that's kind of an interesting note is that we, obviously in this area, if you're buying paver bricks or any kind of stone, you're usually dealing with St. Henry Tile, which is who we are dealing with on it, as local as we can get, obviously. And they've been very supportive of our community, so we want to support them. But we had a local guy come forward and say, I can engrave those. I can do the engraving work on that.
Well, that's really good.
Not for free, but for cheaper than what we would have paid somebody else to do it.
And even if you paid the same, it's local.
Right. So so Eric Brunswick has decided, and we've priced it with him and figured out that it's going to save us a decent amount of money. So he's going to do all the engraving.
Is this Eric Brunswick that was on the state... graduated the year before we went to state in basketball?
Probably.
Married to Mark and Brenda Eichenauer's daughter?
Yes.
I didn't know he did that type of thing.
He does. It actually came from the reason the conversation even started was I was out buying a rock at Christmas time for my daughter in her house, and we got talking about it, and he said, you know, I could probably do the paving on or the engraving on those.
So he sells the engraved rocks?
Yes.
I didn't know who did that.
Yeah. He's one of the ones in this area that does it. But,
that's awesome.
He came forward to us and offered to, you know, being a farmer.
Yep.
And that being his livelihood, you know, this is the time of year where he has some time. And he said, you know, if you can give me some names, I can start on them now and I can have, you know, really, I can have the cutouts
ready. And knowing him, he's the kind of person that does not like sitting there. He needs to have something to do.
And he's pretty protective.
That's a farmer. Yeah. You know, you just need to be busy.
We've seen, he gave us a sample of one that he could do and look. As professional as any place else we'd ever buy it from, so we're pretty happy that we were able to get and bring something back locally.
And that's, you know, almost anything where you're doing things in Fort Recovery, whether it's the town or the school or whatever, you want to do it as local as you can possibly do it.
I think we've done, you know, pretty well on that, on this project.
As Randy was alluding to earlier, when the town gets involved and government gets involved, you can't necessarily do that. You can't decide who's gonna get that contract. The state's regulations kind of dictate who, you know, if somebody has the lowest, that's where you have to go. It's not exactly that, but
that's kind of pretty close. Able to do that. and use all of our local vendors. And, yeah. You know, that's what we want to do. These are the people that support our community, and we definitely want to be the ones supporting them.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of them are ones that give time and money anyway. So the more you can support them with whatever the project is, whether it's school or town or anything like that, you just want to get local people doing your thing. And again, if you have a problem, you can walk right over to them and say, can you help me fix this or what happened here? And they can do it. So let's take a quick break and we'll be back and talk a little bit more about the pavilion. Be back right after this.
The committee for the pavilion at Fort Recovery Community Park is selling tickets for a beautiful street-legal Yamaha golf cart. You can get your tickets for only $20 from any committee member, and they'll be available at the boys and girls home basketball games where this beautiful golf cart will be on display. They're only selling 750 tickets, so be sure to get yours soon. They'll draw the winner at the Jubilee next summer or before if they get all the tickets sold sooner. Construction on the new three-season pavilion will begin this summer, and it'll be ready for use in the spring of 2019. The pavilion will hold over 100 people with plenty of parking, and you can purchase a paver brick for the large outdoor patio with your name or your business name on it by contacting Aaron Miner at the Village Hall. Don't miss out. There will only be 750 tickets available for your chance to win this beautiful street-legal Yamaha golf cart at any of the boys or girls home basketball games or from committee members Jackie Leverett, Michelle Deuce, Randy Diller, Aaron Miner, Roger Borman, Tom Segrist, Don Lennertz, or Bill Bechtel.
Fort Recovery Insurance Agency.
Is Spider-Man there?
I don't know where you can find Spider-Man.
What about Superman?
I don't know where Superman, Spider-Man, or any other superhero friends are.
Don't you always have something for everyone?
We do, with insurance plans from Ohio Mutual for your home, auto, farm, or business, and more. And we always offer super prices for your coverage.
Super prices? I never heard of that, superhero.
We've got something for everyone. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency. Call 888-375-4181.
I remember a time when we didn't have to wear sweaters in the house to keep warm.
That was just a few months ago. It's called summer.
But now, why do we have to wear sweaters indoors?
Because we have a horrible heating system. And why are you talking like an old man? You're only 37.
Oh, I forgot. I'll call Reasoner Energy. They'll uncover any problems and give us solutions. I hear Reasoner Energy has been the go-to heating expert for years and years.
Stop it!
Reasoner Energy, 419-678-4858.
Well, so we should have had a PSA. Hello. Okay, we're back here. Sorry about that. Well, we're back here on Insight. And we're talking with some members of the Pavilion Committee. We have Michelle Deuce, Jackie Leverett, and Randy Diller. And we've been talking about the who, what, when, and where, and all kinds of things like that. Cost, we've determined $225 to $250, something like that. We haven't talked about when. When do things get started? When they're going to get finished? Or what's projected on that? Or when are we going to decide when everything gets going?
Well, Mother Nature plays a big role in
yes,
this
she
decision.
Does.
But right now, initially, we're being told estimated maybe the end of June
for the start date.
For some groundwork to begin happening.
Okay.
And again, that all depends on how the weather is and there are projects leading up to us.
Yeah, if their projects can get started early, they can get started earlier with us. If their projects get started late, they get started late with us. So,
that's right.
Anybody that's done any kind of project knows how that all goes. So if it's anything outdoors, you're at Mother Nature's mercy. And some years you can just get a whole bunch of stuff done, and some years you just can't. So how long a project do you think this is going to be? Is it going to dig up some ground, slap stuff in, and we're ready to go in 2 weeks?
Wishful thinking?
No. I would say best case. A couple things will decide that. I mean, obviously funding will decide that.
Okay.
You know, we're in a situation where we certainly can get it under roof, get it closed in. We know that. We have the funds for that. Can we finish out the inside, the plumbing, and everything that needs to be done? You know, we need a little bit more money to do everything. Mm-hmm. So funding will play a little bit of a role. Our hopes are that come June that we're saying, full speed ahead, you know. And if that's the case, you know, we're not going to push forward too fast. I mean, obviously the contractors will work on it as their schedules allowed and sure. as we're ready. But our hopes are to have it closed in, completely closed in, potentially have some of the interior stuff pretty much readied. But if we don't do that until over the winter, that's okay, too. Okay. My employees can actually be involved in some of that. If it goes over the winter, we would have a little more time mm-hmm. for this type of a thing. So, you know, it's kind of up in the air. But our hopes are and our plans are that if everything goes the way we would hope, that we would be renting it out first thing next spring.
So even if everything went extremely well, you wouldn't have anything going this summer.
We're not committing to that because you know, obviously there's just too many unknowns. We feel pretty confident we can have it ready by spring.
Yep.
So that's what we're going to shoot for.
Okay. Yep. So everybody pray for some nice weather and try. Maybe we'll have things going in September, but probably not. So so we know the approximate when, and would this be rented out reserved through the village, or how's that?
Very similar to how the shelter houses are done now.
Okay.
Obviously, this one will be a little more in-depth. We'll actually mm-hmm. have a sheet that needs to be signed, waiver, talking about damages and things because this enclosed can mm-hmm. create some issues. But it'll be done through the village. That can actually, at that point, it'll be able to be done online.
Okay.
We can do some of that now.
Hadn't thought of that, but yeah.
But it can be reserved online. And
so can the other... just regular shelter houses be reserved online now, too?
They can.
I didn't
know.
Now,
the deposit needs to be made mm-hmm. on them, so we don't have capability yet of taking that online, so they have to eventually come in and get that
But they can look and see when things are available. That's awesome. And that's Fort, spelled out, fortrecovery.org, right?
Correct.
And then what tab do they click on there?
One of those.
Shelter houses things. I'm not sitting at the computer, so I can't look
one of those, and see. I mean, it's pretty easy to get to. Yeah, it might even be on the front page where it says that.
If I remember correctly, when you go on the fortrecovery.org, there's a list of things on the right-hand side where you can pick out what you're going to need.
I think one of those is...
And I've never had any trouble finding, as long as it's on there. Sometimes I'm looking for stuff that isn't on there, but as long as it's on there, it's easy to find, so you won't have any trouble with that. So that's really good. Here we go. I can't read the small print from there, but...
Shelter
house request is on the front page along
front
with.
Page right beside the picture of the monument, and so it is really easy to find. I don't know if you can make it easier, so that's perfect. So thanks, Reese
Rogers, and our hopes are that by next year we'll have it set up where they can make payments online and do it mm-hmm. 9 yards.
Yeah, and the technology part just keeps getting easier and cheaper, so you don't want to spend a whole bunch of money, of town's money, just to be able to get whatever it costs for the shelter house.
Right now, a normal shelter house is $30, so we don't want to pay a $5 fee to do that online.
No, because that doesn't help you. So.
Yeah.
Now, on the pavilion also, parking. Is there going to be... parking near that, or are you going to use the existing and the parking that's getting built now? Is there going to be parking in addition to what we see out there now?
Actually, it's great that you bring that up because it brings in the other project that's happening out there this spring, and that is the construction of the courts, what we're calling the courts project, which is tennis courts, basketball courts. Mm-hmm. That'll be...
Pickleball?
And pickleball will be on it. You're right.
Not that I have any idea what that is, but I know it's popular.
Yeah. But as part of that project, which will be happening prior to this project, the pavilion project taking off, that project will be pretty well done. But mm-hmm. part of that courts project is the addition of a drive back to the courts, which will include some parking area.
Mm-hmm.
Probably going to create another 30 plus maybe up to 40 parking spots back in that area. So mm-hmm. those, obviously, if somebody is renting the pavilion, that will be the closest parking. So that's going to fill up first. And then there's obviously spillover mm-hmm. parking into the pool parking lot.
So where will the courts be?
The courts will be east of the playground area now.
Okay.
basically up in the area. If you take the walking trail, it's pretty easy to see where the courts are.
Yep.
It's the area inside the trail that you walk around right now.
So near the pool, kind of, yep. So it'll be basically south, between the pool and the where the pavilion will be. Is that kind of...
The courts will actually be east of the pavilion
and
southeast of the pool.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And what used to be the Yaki's properties for a lot of years. And the village is owned it for 15 or 20 years. But,
yeah. And that just bringing that up, it was really good of Rich Yaki's to sell that because, you know, he mowed it for years and he loved it and he never did anything with it. And I'm not knowing for sure, I would say he probably could have made a lot more money on that, selling it as housing. There wouldn't be street access, though, would
that
there?
That was the problem. Yeah. He didn't have any.
He about had to tear his house down to make street access for it, and he's not interested in doing that. So,
it would have been tougher.
And that's a really nice prime property that, you know, he could have held on for decades and then pass it on to whoever buys his house in 30 years or whatever. So
there's some really great additions going on back there with the courts project and our shelter house, and it's really neat and great to see the park develop and see coming. It's wonderful.
I think the placement of the pavilion, the shelter house, is ideal too, because where it's sitting for the parents with, you know, younger kids yet, you can see to the swimming pool, because the north side is actually going to be the wall or like the fence of the swimming pool area. Then to the south, you're going to be able to have the full view of the new playground that they put in.
Yeah.
And then directly to the east will be the new courts project. So from a parent standpoint with kids, I think it's going to be very nice, because you're going to be able to see all of those areas. We actually have a window that we incorporated into the kitchenette area. So when you are inside the shelter house, the pavilion, you can look out yet to the pool area if you have kids out there, but also the patio, which will be on the east side, that if you're sitting out there in a lawn chair, you can still view the pool.
Yeah, so, you know, if you're renting the pavilion out, there's the courts you can do. If the kids want to go swimming, they can go. They have to walk around, but they can get in there. The playground, that's really nice.
And you still have access to view the ball diamonds, too. So.
Yeah, yep, if there's games going on. So a lot of times, I'm going to guess this will be rented out a lot on Sundays, and there's not usually Little League on Sundays, but sometimes there is with tournaments, I think, maybe. But so that's really a good thing. So, naming rights. Can somebody talk about that a little bit, and how would somebody do that, and what's the approximate cost, or do we know? Because it can be the Fort Recovery Radio
Community Pavilion.
I think it's a great idea.
I got $20.
With a couple zeros behind.
I have a feeling that's not going to be. I could do a couple of zeros. maybe one more zero. So who has the information on that?
Actually, as of right now, nobody has come forward and officially said that they would like the naming rights to the facility. There's been some talk between some different, you know, businesses, organizations, whatnot, but nobody has committed to anything. Originally, our thinking, and this was based on other facilities that have done similar things. I think it, what was it, 20% or... I think it was 20% of the...
thinking 50,000.
Right, which was 20% of what our estimate was to start out. And again, it's still open if there's someone out there that's interested or, you know, potentially interested, but they have a set number in mind. We'll gladly entertain any sorts of ideas right now because, like I said, we're still looking for some funds. And yeah, that spot's open. So it could be have Neil's name on the side. You know, Fort Recovery Radio.
Could. Yeah. and it could be individual, especially if you're correct. Wanting to honor an individual. We have the Jerome and Maurice Student Athletic Center and that type of thing. There's several things like that. If you want to put a particular person or people's name on it, that's possible. If you want to do a business name or, you know, whatever it may be, the class of 1985. If a bunch of people want to get together and do that, that wouldn't be a bad thing. So, you know, there's all kinds of groups. It could be a a family group where there's two or five or eight, ten kids that get together and throw in a little bit of money. And I'm sure the town would work with you approximately the way they did with the grandstands at the football field, where if you need to do it over a year or two, they would probably try to work with you on that. If they're able to get the rest of it done, they could probably come up with something. But that, so everybody's pretty flexible on that, and the exact way it's going to be named and the naming rights, so that'd be good. We need to take one more break. Yep. So let's take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes and finish up about the pavilion.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Are you planning a building project? Let B&D Contracting help you with your plans. Get together with Dave Kalp and discuss your plans and construction schedule. B&D Contracting also does remodeling and can build your commercial, agricultural, or steel building in addition to their custom-built homes. Call Dave today at 419-234-2976 and schedule your construction project. B&D Contracting is a proud athletic supporter.
Hello, this is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern. Stop in and check out our new evening specials. On Monday evening, you can get a sub basket for only $7. Choose from one of our seven different subs, plus your choice of two of our many sides. On Tuesday, it's our wing night featuring 50-cent wings and boneless wings and 75-cent drafts. On Wednesday evenings, you can get $3 off any large pizza, any toppings. Thursdays, you can get our hand-cut grilled or breaded tenderloin basket with your choice of two sides for only $5.50. And with all of our specials, you can eat here or take it home. Stop in any night and check out our new evening specials at Brick Street Tavern.
The Village of Fort Recovery has several openings for seasonal positions this summer, and they're open to people of all ages. You can go to fortrecovery.org or stop by the Village Hall to pick up an application form, fill it out, and return it to the Village Hall by Friday, February 9th. The seasonal job openings they have are pool manager, assistant pool manager, lifeguards, park maintenance, and cleaning and landscape maintenance. If you're interested in one of these seasonal jobs working for the Village, pick up your application at the Village Hall or go to fortrecovery.org and print out the application form. Then take your application to the Village Hall by Friday, February 9th. The Village of Fort Recovery is an equal opportunity employer.
You're back here on Insight, and we're talking to the Pavilion Committee, Randy Diller, Jackie Leverett, Michelle Deuce. And we've covered a lot of this. I think we've covered everything that I need to think about. Do you guys have anything else you want to add? Or do we want to start going back and reviewing? And
I guess we didn't really touch on, you know, we talked about the doors on the pavilion itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's obviously going to be three entry doors, mm-hmm. but then we're going to have actually roll-up doors mm-hmm. on it, garage doors, yeah. per se, and there's going to be eight of those. Seven of them will be, you know, about halfway up that they roll up. So, you know, based on the weather, it, mm-hmm. you know, it's hot outside or, you know, hot inside the building, you need to let some air in, you can adjust and open however many doors you need. One's going to be a full all the way to the ground door then. So, yeah, you know, if you've got something larger, a bunch of coolers or anything yeah. like that, you're carrying in mm-hmm. for an easier end.
Tree. Yep, that's a good idea. And with the other ones, you can still get just as much air as you would with the full roll up. So, anything else we've missed?
Nope. Like I said, it should be available next year is our hopes, and I think it'll be fairly popular. St. Henry's had a lot of success with theirs, and we're open for the same.
And, of course, our park is nicer than theirs, so.
Well, we think so.
Absolutely.
So, it is going to be at the Community Park. That's the name of the park. By the swimming pool.
By Ambassador Pool at Community Park.
Yep. And going to hold about 125, 100.
I don't know what the capacity is based on 1,800 square feet.
114 is what we had on there. So roughly that 100, 120 range. You can fill it as many as you want
Yeah.
And that's the other discussion, you know, the size of picnic tables. You know, we've not been real concerned about which size picnic tables, but, you know, we were talking about 6 footers, 8 footers. You know, that'll all be decided when we get a little closer to it.
And that's, that part isn't terribly important right now. It's not critical to have that figured out right now. So, and construction is probably going to start this summer. Possibility of a little earlier, possibility of a little later, depending on the weather. Funding is, if I'm doing my math right, about 80%, somewhere in there, 75-80%.
75-80%, correct.
And so there is still a need for that. None of it is government, public, / village money or state money or anything. It's all local, or could be somebody that lives in California that wants to help us. Be glad to have them help us, but it's all private money, I guess, is probably the best way to put it. And you can help by just doing a donation. You can help by buying pavers with your name or friend's name. There's three different sizes, including, what's the big one? 8x16, is that the...
Correct.
That you can get for $500, and that's a lot of businesses are doing that. And you can, if you have a logo, they'll put the logo on for another $50. Let's see, they're selling pavers. They also, I'm sure if you've been to any basketball games, and Fort Recovery is basketball crazy, so you've probably been to a game, you've seen the golf cart that they're selling tickets for, $20 per ticket. Only 750 will be sold, and you can get them at any of the home boys or girls basketball games that are left, and there'll be several other events coming up that they'll also be available at.
Wangler Hardware has them as well. Or you can stop by the Village Hall.
Mm-hmm.
They're always going to be available there.
And then hopefully after this evening, I plan to stop out at St. Joe's store because Terry Wendell offered to sell them out there as well.
And okay, the new owner out at St. Joe's store, good for him. And that's you know, that sounds like he's trying very hard to help support the community, and that's a good thing. People appreciate that, so that can't do anything but help his business. So plenty of parking in and around that specific area. Pavers going to be there. Going to be a not quite a full kitchen, basically a full kitchen without a cooking stove. Sounds like what that is. Can't think of anything else. Naming rights. We got to find somebody to put a name on it
because obviously we feel that would get us over the top on the funding.
And you have had some people talking about that, but
nothing in the works right now, so it's available.
Yep, and that's a good way to memorialize somebody, or as I said, maybe you're a high school class or a business, something like that that can, you know, that somebody wants to put some money together and have their name on there for decades. That's probably a really good way to, because a lot of people are going to use that building. Everybody in town is going to be there at some time or other. A lot of the groups will have their annual meetings there or their community events there. A lot of families will be going in and out of there with you know, reunion type things and get togethers. So lots and lots of people are going to be using that. Let me just ask you, Randy, as far as the regular shelter houses, there's just the open post type shelter houses. How often are those rented out in the nice weather?
Come June and July and August, they're rented pretty much every weekend, or we have one or two. So they're rented fairly regularly.
Yeah, so even those that are just jade with some electricity. There's a big demand for that. So obviously something much nicer. There's going to be a lot of demand for that. So with the pool right next to it, the basketball and the tennis court's going to be right there. The playground, the really, really nice playground, is right there. Everything that you would want for family being around there is right there. Gathering place and all the things for the kids to do. And you're in an area where there's not traffic going by. If the kids get a little farther away, they're not going to be, there's not a semi coming by there. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to worry about that. So anything else we want to?
I just think we want to just recognize the donors that we have again so far.
That's a really good
because
idea.
Because if we didn't have them, I mean, we're at 75% of the funding. And when mm-hmm. we started this, it was, you know, at $250,000. You're thinking, all right, how are we going to get there? That, you know, it's the 225 committee, the Community Foundation, the Community Club, Coopers, the Jubilee Sorority, Second National Bank, and then all the individual donors.
Yeah.
I mean, we're really fortunate to have a community that just donates and gives back to, you know, to see these projects come to life and happen.
Yeah.
So we're close. I mean, we're getting there, and, you know, we're going to work to make sure we have the funding to make it all happen.
Yeah.
But without these mm-hmm. those groups and individuals, I mean, we wouldn't be where we are.
Yeah.
So that's really cool to see that.
All righty. We've been talking with the Pavilion Committee. Oh, Randy has one more thing.
One note that we didn't bring up. Another improvement that is happening in that area that's going to be a nice is that we did get a state grant to replace the fencing around the pool with some decorative fencing.
That did come in. Get that state
we did
grant.
Get the grant, so that's going to be happening in conjunction with this project. Because this building is actually part of the fence around the pool,
mm-hmm.
so it's going to work out perfectly, and we'll be able to dress that up a little.
Yeah, that's really good then.
Yes.
So look for lots of, you know, we already have a really nice park.
We're making it
nice. Improved the restrooms last year and did some other things. This is really gonna really set this park off. So again, we've been talking with Village Administrator Randy Diller and two of the other members of the Pavilion Committee, Jackie Leverett and Michelle Deuce, and we thank you for visiting with us on Insight.
Thank you. Thanks, Neil.
Yep, thanks for having us, Neil.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.